My parents, we were in the military, and so we were always moving, but my parents still managed to have a lot of records, and they had this really eclectic taste, because my dad was a drummer, loved all of the Buddy Rich and the Gene Krupa stuff, so we had a ton of drum records, which are not really popular for dinner music, but he would, like, play them when he couldn't play his own drums. And my mother liked folk music and Broadway, and both of them were sort of raised very conservatively. Mostly in Indiana, and they thought the Beatles were just, you know, they're hippies or drug addicts, their hair is too long. So they basically stopped listening to popular music, I think, in the mid-60s. But before they got to that point, they got into all of the village folk stuff. Not necessarily Bob Dylan, but like Peter, Paul, and Mary, and the Weavers, except for that one that was communist.
I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
The folk stuff really stuck in my mind, and at one point along the way, we were in Indiana, and I remember finding this box set called Instrumental Music of the Southern Appalachians. I was, like, in my room, and you know when you're in middle school and you're basically just this raging cauldron of angst and hormones, and you just want to lock yourself in there? So I had my record player, because we had the record players back then, and so I just flipped this thing on, said, I'll see what this is, I haven't heard it. And the first track on the first album in the set was this guy named Hobart Smith, who was an old-time Virginia fiddle player and banjoist. It's like a minute and a half long, maybe 2 minutes tops, and the guy just shreds it. He'd been recorded by a bunch of field journalists who would go out. I think Alan Lomax recorded him in the 40s. A group of people went down in 1956, including one of the Clancy brothers. I think it was Liam and Paul Clayton and Diane Hamilton, and they were recording all the local musicians. And they had him ripping off this rendition of this song called Cripple Creek, and I think it was recorded in 1956, but it sounds like it could be from the 19th century. So I was really into the Hobart Smith thing, and then as we were growing up, you know, we still had this kind of folk music thing in the house. I would hear banjo from the Kingston Trio records, and we watched a lot of Hee Haw because my parents, you know, this was a safe show to watch. It was, you know, good old country humor. So I would hear a lot of banjo, and I really liked the sound of it. And when I really got into it, I think we were watching Hee Haw. We were in North Dakota at the time, in the middle of the Cold War. This is like early 70s.
You know, the judge fined me $50 for stealing that pig.
How'd they catch you?
The pig squealed.
They would always have, you know, Buck Owens and Roy Clark come out, and they would do their cornpone shtick, and Roy would play the banjo. And I was like, Mom, I want to learn how to play that. But she said, oh, well, you know, you should learn how to play an instrument. This is very important. But we didn't know any banjo players because it was in North Dakota on a nuclear missile base. But the lady next door, who was the wife of an officer, a lady from New Jersey, played folk guitar, and she was all into Peter, Paul, and Mary. And she's like, well, if you want to learn guitar, which is kind of like banjo, except it has another string and it's differently shaped, you know, I'll give you lessons for, you know, $5 or whatever. And so my mother was all excited about this. We got the little cheap import guitar. I went over there, and I was like, well, you know, this is kind of not the same. And I realized that I have really short fingers, and fretting a guitar, unless it's like one of those really scaled-down models, is really hard. So I kind of lost interest in that. And then eventually got to college at some point, got a banjo in a pawn shop. Because, you know, I really like the sound. I really like bluegrass music. I started collecting them based on the Hobart Smith stuff. And I actually have a whole playlist of Cripple Creek of just different people doing it. So I got this banjo, and then I was living in New York in this one-room SRO hotel in the late 80s on 23rd and Lexington, which was sort of a nasty place, but I could sit there and try to teach myself to play because the guy next door to me was a disabled Korean war vet who didn't hear very well, so he wouldn't complain. And then Cripple Creek was always a song that you see in the beginning manuals. And so going back to the Hobart Smith stuff where I'd first heard it, Cripple Creek or Boiling Cabbage Down is usually one of the two you start with that because they're simple enough. And so I thought, oh, okay, so this is how this song looks on paper.
All right, I'm just going to noodle around, so.
So for me, every time I hear the opening of Cripple Creek, it takes me right back. It's a pretty distinctive opening for a bluegrass song, or at least for people who listen to bluegrass. but it starts off like this. And so it's that slide there. Cripple Creek, we're sliding. I took lessons for a while, never really got any good. I realized that I'm never going to be a musician. It's more of a analog switch off for me because I spent so much time on the computer, so much time in the digital world. The banjo stuff kind of became my switch off time. My teacher, who was a guy out in Brooklyn, you know, we had the 50-minute hour, so it was, oh, this is just like therapy, except kind of cheaper. And I have to lug a banjo on a train to Brooklyn, but, you know, that works.